Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Ramika, who is here to speak with us about her experience of participating in the recent email class on undulations. Welcome, Ramika.
Thanks, Jen. Good to be here.
Thanks for being with us. So, yes, your experience of participating in the undulations email class. What did you see?
Well, you know, I knew that a two-week class was going to be, on one hand, I said, ego's not going to have time to get in there and make knock me off my game. I'm gonna do it this time because I often either miss an assignment when it comes out or miss reading it. I just was really geared up. So I'm going to be here for this one. So as soon as we got the assignment, you know, pick a topic, and I was looking at it, and, you know, the luxury of having 75 words to describe what I'm seeing, and sent it off, and when I got Sherry's response, it was like it drilled in through so many layers of stuff. Basically, she says, you know, what you're, no, let me back up. I've been practicing with this practice for a long time, and I've gotten a lot of guidance from Sherry. But this just, she told me, basically, stop listening to the voices. And I got it. I mean, I know she said that a zillion times, but I got it.
I just got that you got it. Just felt, you know, just kind of that goosebumps moment where, that's so big. Because as you say, it's not that you've never heard that phrase before or you haven't heard that guidance even probably to you over and over and over. But really getting it, that's so big.
Yeah, and I could literally feel it go from my head with all the conditioned stuff into the body and land in the heart.
Wow.
It just landed right there. I was like, oh, my gosh. And I started, and part of the guidance was, you know, can you see this pattern? She took, Sherry described the process that I had been talking about, but removed all the content from it. So it was pure process. And as soon as she laid it out like that, I said, oh, my goodness. I started seeing avenue after avenue after avenue where this karmic knot started unraveling, and I saw, I even saw an image of myself in third grade where I was struggling to meet the standards and be the right student, and I don't think I've relaxed since then up until this email class.
Between third grade and December, whatever, the muscles have been tensed up, trying to get it right, trying to be the right student, trying to see the right thing, which of course will translate into spiritual practice, because how we do anything is how we do everything. And so that's going to be the process that happens in spiritual practice. And so what a gift. You use the image when you were describing Sherry's response of drilling. What a gift to have something that can drill through those layers.
Yeah, absolutely. And interesting that you should say that's what happens with spiritual practice, because that was the topic I thought I was talking about. And she said, this has nothing to do with spiritual practice. And what I saw was basically self-hate. You know, that whole another layer of trying to improve the self. And what a ton of energy that takes. And seeing it in all these ways, I started feeling, experiencing freedom. It's like the bars in my cage have started rattling.
Wow.
Seeing through them, seeing beyond them.
And that makes so much sense because, you know, from what I've read, that's a big theme in the class. A lot of people were looking at, quote, spiritual practice. And that was pointed at over and over, that conditioned process that ego does with spiritual practice has nothing to do with spiritual practice. And that it makes so much sense that as that's highlighted, you said the content was completely stripped out of it, the process was highlighted, then we begin to see, we see the difference between what ego is doing with, quote, spiritual practice, and the actual process of spiritual practice, which begins to free us. Those bars start to come down. We start to see through those illusions.
Yes, yes. And, you know, getting to the topic of the class, you know, undulations. Well, I couldn't see the undulations because I was, or I couldn't talk about them because I was still in the self-hating process. With that becoming clear, you know, the voice came in and said, well, now you start looking for the undulations. I said, wait a second, I'm experiencing them. Sometimes I can see, sometimes I can't. Sometimes I'm, you know, high energy, sometimes I'm not. But conditioning would take over both the highs and the lows with the conversation and say, there's something wrong with you because you're at the bottom of this wave. And, well, here you're at the top of this wave, so you can, we can siphon off a little of that energy. You can engage in one of those behaviors that's not really that healthy for you because you've got a lot of energy. And as long as I was engaged with that conversation, I could not see any of that.
Yeah. That to me was another helpful thing, what I think you're pointing at, of the clarification Sherry made in a number of responses of, that's not the undulation. That's self-hate doing what it does. And so that the undulation is the, you know, that's what we actually get to experience when we can step outside of that, you know, self-hating process. And that to realize that that's just, you know, how sometimes it's light and sometimes it's dark and sometimes it's warm and sometimes it's cold. And there's not, that doesn't mean anything. It's not one's good and one's bad. And as you said in the beginning, I have to, you know, try hard to be on always the, quote, right, good side of everything. Always light, always warm, always,
Yes. It doesn't mean anything about me, and it doesn't mean there's anything wrong. These are just the cycles of life, and I can relax into them and see what I see.
Yeah. And another point you made, which I also found, was the different rhythm of having a two-week class. I also found quite powerful for the same reason that there's a very, it feels like there's kind of a very kind of poignancy to it or a clarity to it. You know, it's very clear. It's very, I don't know exactly what word to use. Yes, concentrated. That's a perfect word.
Yeah, and I think that might have helped me get that drilling. You know, I thought, okay, there's only going to be two opportunities here. So let's see to the best of our ability, and let's take what comes to me to the best of my ability.
That is such a great point. Could you just really underline what I think it is that, you know, so a class that's a bit longer, there's a sense of like, let me look at that. Yep, I'll get around to that. We've got some more assignments coming up. But with something like this, where there's two interactions, it's really helpful with that, the basic principle we're always encouraged in practice, which is this is it now, here. Mm-hmm. This is it. Yeah.
Exactly. So it's very powerful, and I feel like I've got this treasure that I'm working with, and I continue to see the reverberations throughout, you know, anytime, you know, I'm practicing dropping it. Thank goodness I have this skill and this guide and this sangha to support me in dropping it. And oh my goodness, look at what I'm seeing. It's just so much fun.
Yeah, very much agreed. And I just feel like that, having that theme of undulations being brought so much into practice in the last few months really feels like something to carry forward with us, because it's not as if it's going to stop happening. And so to have that, right, now we know about undulations, so we won't have them anymore. It's sort of like projection. Now that I know about projection, I'll stop projecting, right? But it's never going to happen. That's just not how it works. So it's so useful to have that information and to have that going forward in our practice. Yep, there will be undulations.
It feels like the magnitude of, you know, process versus content, because we've got another context, you know, that undulations happen. So that's another, like a warp and a weave of the fabric of life. So we're whatever's happening right now is in that context, so that's the frame for it.
Yes, exactly so. And I know for me, when an email class ends, I've never read all the responses. And so I just love that process of, you know, just little by little, each day, reading a few more of the responses and a few more of the responses. I really savor that lovely practice opportunity as well.
Yeah, it is a treasure. Yeah. There's so much there. And you reminded me of bringing that quality of this is it. You know, let each one of those land wherever they land. And you see the whole gift.
Yeah, great point, because that's right, isn't it? That with each of those responses, someone has done the work, we could say, of that of spiritual practice on my behalf. You know, I'm getting to receive it in participating in that response. Yeah. Well, Ramita, we're up against the hour. Anything else you wanted to add in before we end?
I just think this is brilliant, and I'm just so grateful and just lots to celebrate and be grateful for. Thank you so much for having me tonight.
Yep, great way to end the year. Yep.
Yeah.
And thanks for being with us, Ramita.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. And Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Ramita, and thank you, Jen. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I should say good evening, Sherry. How are you?
I'm good, Michael. How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. You're sounding a little bit far away in that moment. Oh, now you're closer. That's good.
Is that good?
That's good right there.
All right. I won't move a muscle.
Good. I know technology has not been your friend recently.
It has not. It's crazy. Yeah. I don't know. I can't blame everything on poor Mercury, but I will be happy when he goes off of his retreat and returns to us to support us. Yeah, you have to say good evening because it's practically dark. Even where
we are
out here on the West Coast, isn't it? But we're closing in on that shortest day of the year. So
yes, a couple days away, so that's good.
Couple of days away, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Yeah.
Great.
Good. It'll be looking up soon.
Yes. Yeah, wonderful. And I loved the email class, too. I found it super helpful. And I, too, love reading those responses over time. It's great. I print them out and have a big stack. And read several
days. They're like a book, aren't they?
Yes, they are. And I know that Ashwini often makes it into a book, and so that's another benefit of it, which is great.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Yeah. It was fun. And I don't know, I guess everybody knows this maybe, or they don't know it, but we're just putting the finishing touches on the Undulations workshop that we did around a few places here at Center and at the Monastery. And so I think that's going to be available for people soon as a download.
Oh.
You can be at home and do your own little undulations retreat and maybe, you know, invite your friends over and have a workshop. Yeah.
Wow. Oh, that's great. That's great.
I think it's such an important piece of practice. You know, I mean, we have so many important pieces of practice, but it's one of those kind of places that we want the whole Sangha to get to together so that we're all aware, especially what Ramita and Jen were talking about, you know, the difference between undulations and self-hatred. And so those voices that are talking to us about, it's great to be on a high, now you're the right person, now you've got to stay there. And it's awful when you're down because you're the wrong person, and oh God, it's going to last forever. And so, all of us getting clear about the difference between undulations, the world of duality, and self-hatred, and how all of those factors can play together to make life more difficult than it needs to be. So,
yes. Yes, and the sense that I got it from your responses is that undulation is really a separate process from self-hatred and egocentric karmic conditioning. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Okay.
And it's different from duality. It's a subtle difference, and it's a wonderful place to practice. Life has undulations. Ego makes them into a duality. So
yes.
If we didn't have those labels, then we would just be aware that there are all kinds of ups and downs going on all the time. And it's ego that adds the label, says, well, this is good and that's bad. And it can be in any direction. It's not everybody doesn't have up is good and down is bad. There are actually people for whom up is more scary. Being happy is scarier than being sad. So it's whatever ego does to turn the natural flow, the energies of life into good, bad, right, wrong, and then, of course, the self-hate that comes in to turn all of that into great suffering. So getting clear about those, being able to distinguish the difference between those, I think would be helpful for us as a sangha.
Oh, yes. All of it's helpful. Mm-hmm. All of it is great. And, Sherry, I have some announcements here.
All right.
A new quarter of Reflective Listening Buddies is coming up in mid-January. This program is a powerful support for conscious, compassionate awareness, requiring participants to show up to practice being present on a weekly basis. Mm-hmm. And registration is now open for the video workshop, January 21st, with you, Sherry, and Ashwini, to look at the exciting practice opportunities coming in 2018.
What are we going to do in 2018?
That'll be fun.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Yes, yes. And there will be no open-air show next Tuesday, December 26th, or the following Tuesday, January 2nd. And we will resume again on January 9th.
After we've enjoyed the New Year's retreat.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And for these and other practice opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can press *6 and then 1 to make guest show and get in the queue. And a conversation that's focused on one topic in about 5 minutes is really great. So I think we're ready, Sherry. You ready?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Yeah, hi. This is Helga from Charleston.
Hey, Helga.
Hey, Helga.
Hi. it was exciting to actually get on.
That get in the queue business again, huh?
Yeah. Let's see. Well, first of all, you know, I'm coming to the New Year's retreat, and I'm really excited partly because you know I know now so many people by their voices. And I know, I mean, even though there's, you know, no contact, social contact, but I'm really looking forward to, you know, putting a face to some of these voices.
Yes.
So,
yes, even though you're not going to be looking at them, we're all
going
to be in the same room together. I know. It's one of the very, very best things about being on retreat. It's just different, isn't it?
Yes.
This is great. This is wonderful. But being in the room together and all working on the the same, you know, looking at the same things and sharing about what we're seeing. It's just, there's just nothing like
it. Oh, it's a different
best party in the world.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah, I mean, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. So I'm looking forward to that. You know, I'm not sure. I don't really have a question. I guess, you know, I have had a really big insight this morning in the yoga class, and it just kind of came like a whole image or like a whole gestalt. You know, how ego has had me by the throat, really mm-hmm. most of my life, mm-hmm. You know, with very self-destructive behaviors. And I could never understand what had happened. I just couldn't understand it. And you know, when I went to do the There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat 2 years ago, what it felt to me was, you know, I had talked about that before often, that I felt there was something that I couldn't see because it was too close to me. That's how it mm-hmm. always felt.
Mm-hmm.
And in the retreat, what it felt to me like was, you guys move the mirror around so that that blind spot that, mm. you know, in the car where mm-hmm. you can't see something
mm-hmm.
because of the angle, it was changed. And I actually could see what this was. And, you know, it's like, and the way you describe ego and what it actually is and all the words that you use and everything, I felt like for the first time, I could actually start seeing this thing that, you know, was so close, because I always felt it was me.
Uh-huh. You know, I love that description. I love it. I don't know that I've ever heard anybody articulate it that way before. But what you're talking about, and you've probably heard us say this, we'll often refer to it as skin.
As what?
Like that's how close to us it is. It's like skin. It's really
yeah.
hard to imagine that skin is not me, but that mirror image, that's wonderful.
Yeah. You know, so anyway, today I just, you know, I could see how, you know, when I was little, what I was punished for was being alive. In all its expressions,
yeah.
you know, I was
yes.
too loud, I was too angry, I was too sad, I was too happy. So ego came in and figured that the safest place for me is dead. And it actually really, I mean, it did try to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And,
just flatline you. If you could be flatlined, then
right,
you would be acceptable and you'd be okay, but then you couldn't really maintain that, could you? And then you once in a while, you'd come screaming out of your fat flat line, and then self-hate would have you.
Well, What it came down for me was, you know, it's like if I, you know, it's like I'm, it's going to try to kill me, and if it can't have that, I, you know, at least I got to be miserable, and afraid, and ashamed,
and angry,
mm-hmm. yeah, all those things, but
yep.
It just got so clear that is what's been
you.
Operating in me.
Yes.
And
it's not you.
Right. It is exactly, and it's not me. It's like, you know, it's like
yeah.
exactly. So these last 2 years, I feel like I'm more and more just really seeing this thing how it has taken over, and that it is not me. So
yeah. Yeah, in fact, I don't know if you've been around when we've been talking about this, but I've been kidding a lot about, so, you know, maybe you get really upset over something and act out in some way, right? And self-hate comes in with a beating about it. And what you say is, hey, that wasn't me. That wasn't me. That was ego. I was unconscious. I wasn't there. Right? Because when you are here, you don't do that, right? You have whatever emotions that you have, and you are you, and you're animated by the moment, and that sort of thing. But when ego takes over, it's to put us into an unconscious state where we will do and say what reinforces its ability to then control us through self-hatred.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah? Does that hang together?
Yeah.
And so now what you're doing is waking up. You're waking up to seeing, life is very different when I'm here and when ego has taken over and has me in these places that control me and don't work, make me unhappy, miserable.
Exactly. So
beautiful, isn't it? And Helga, we can, the voices again will often come in then with people and say, well, my God, what took you so long? You could have, what took us so long is we had to see it all before we could really see it. It's what Ramita was talking about with, you go along, you hear stuff, you have experience, you read stuff, you're working along, and then all of a sudden it just all comes together. All those little tiny pieces, all those hints and clues, they just all come together, and we get it.
Yeah.
And it's gorgeous.
Yeah.
It's just worth the wait.
And what's also interesting is that, so then I recorded all the things that, came to me. There was a lot of other things that, I realized, in that moment, that just like suddenly, there's all these other clarities that come. And so I recorded all that. And I realized, like, in the course of the day, it's like, it's like such a moment of illumination. But if I hadn't recorded it, by the end of the day, I wouldn't have remembered half of it, even though it's
Thank
so clear in the moment.
Thank you.
It's really true. It's amazing.
I know it's really true.
Yeah,
but
I'm
so grateful when somebody besides me says it, because that is the God's truth. By the end of the day, it would have been covered over. But now you have it forever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
I love it.
Great too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you so much. It makes me.
Thank you.
Makes
so
me
much.
Very happy.
Yeah. Me too. Yeah. I'm just so grateful. I'm so grateful. For this practice.
Me too.
Really.
Yep. It's a lifesaver.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Take good care. Okay. See you soon.
Yep.
All right.
Travel
safe. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Helga. That was a great conversation, Sherry.
Yeah.
And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello. Hi, it's Virginia.
Hey, Virginia.
Good evening. Hi. First I just want to say thank you, everybody, for so much for making those undulation workshops. I know they're not available yet, but I'm very excited to hear that they're going to be available.
I hope people enjoy it. Well, I did. I enjoyed it, and it seemed like the people who were there in person doing it got a lot out of it. So we're hopeful.
Yeah, I'm hopeful too. I'm excited. And I was just noticing, you know, I just put myself in the queue because it's becoming easier to put myself in the queue. And I am noticing that there's kind of an undulation around that thing. Like first it's like, oh, no, you know, I'm too tired or whatever it says. And then it's like, oh, actually, though, I actually really kind of want to – there's kind of an energy that comes up like, no, I really want to be in the queue. Like, what – like, just like that. And then – people are talking, and Michael's unmuting people, and then it's like, oh, you know. I don't know. Maybe it's not an undulation. Maybe it's just the duality of ego.
Yep.
Is that what
you
mean?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
I do. Yeah. Trying to control you.
Trying to control
you. And sometimes, Virginia, I think that's all that's going on. It's, you know, there's really no other point to what it's doing. It can just get some juice out of
anything.
Just controlling you. Anything.
Yeah, right.
Do that, don't do that. Oh, you should. No, you shouldn't. Just,
right.
You know, just kind of pulls in this direction, then that direction. I think that's a lot of the game.
That's a lot of the game. Yeah. Yeah. So,
So here you are.
Yeah, here I am. Yeah. I guess I'm a little now, like, so here I am, yeah. So are you suggesting, Sherry, that it's possible to be here and that could be part of a duality that got me here?
Well, I think what happens, as far as I can tell, and people can check it out for themselves, but so you love practice.
Yeah.
And you want to practice. So that gets immediate. I mean, you know, we know practice is the biggest threat in the world to ego. So it's kind of what Helga said. You know, it's okay if you're going to do this, then the best thing for ego is to make you miserable about it. So you know, ego doesn't care what the content is, as long as it can be used to support ego. So if you're going to practice, then okay, but every step of it is going to be a conversation, and it's going to be a duality.
Right.
Yeah, you should, you shouldn't. Okay, do it. No, don't do it. Put yourself in the kitchen. No, don't. But what we're constantly being operated by, whether we're conscious of it or not, is the intelligence animating us. So it drops in that it's Tuesday evening, afternoon, whatever. You're on our coast here, so afternoon, evening, and there's open air.
Yeah.
That occurs to you. And the reason it occurs to you is because you want to participate in it.
Mm.
And just that much sets off ego. Because whatever is of life, which is a yes, must be met by ego with a no. So as soon as that impulse is there in you, here comes ego with, you're too tired.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can next week. Do it after the retreat.
Right.
You're going on retreat, right? That's enough. Just take some time.
Right. Yeah. So just to reflect what you said, that every the movement of life, which is yes, ego meets the movement of life, which is yes, with a no.
Always. Always. And if people start watching from that perspective, that's what's always going on. And it can be an out-and-out no. No. I don't, and it takes the form of, I don't want to do that. I don't like, no.
Mm-hmm.
Or it can be a no that has a yes, apparently. Yeah, well, that'd be great. Yeah, why didn't you do that tomorrow?
Right, yeah. And
there'll be more time, more space. You'll be more rested. Yeah, that'd be great. but it's a no.
That's really, because
it's never going to happen.
Right. Wow. Okay. Yeah. Got it. I think
it's fun to catch on to, isn't it?
It's fun to catch on to, and I think you're right. It would be a great, fun place to practice looking for the no. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm going to frame this up. Looking for the no through the eyes of life, I guess. Or I don't know how to say it, Sherry. Is that, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, and the again, the you've been practicing long enough that an out-and-out no is going to catch your attention, right?
Right.
Because we know that that's coming from ego. And people will say, well, can't you have a legitimate no? And the answer is no. because from life, it's always going to be a yes. And so the way that happens is, you know, you have something planned and you really are tired, or you're not feeling well, or whatever. It doesn't have to, there will be a yes. Yes, don't go do that. Yes, stay home and take care of yourself.
Yeah.
So, uh-huh.
An affirmation of caring for the human being.
Yes, that's right. So,
okay.
It's very subtle stuff that we're playing with here. But once we catch on to it, it's a lot like muscle testing. You know, you can feel the difference in your body when it's life's yes, or ego's yes, which is actually a no in disguise.
Right. Okay, thanks.
One
Great.
Feels good and the other doesn't. It's kind of as simple as that.
Excuse me. Okay, thank you, Sherry, because it's great that you were talking, because I'm actually, been practicing a lot with body sensations, so this is perfect. And also, just to dovetail back really quick, about a month ago, you suggested that I practice with the phrase, here, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been, and I find it a real body-centering practice.
Oh.
Yeah. Because it's here.
When you said it, mm-hmm. I said it silently to myself, and I could just feel my whole body just relax down another level.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And for me, it feels like the attention just comes into my body. Like everything kind of comes into my body rather than being like run out in some distracted kind of way. So I just drawing that back to what we were just talking about, the sensitivity to body, to noticing what information or guidance body offers around
yes. Yes, because as Rafonda pointing out, the body is always here. The body is always present. So with attention on the body, we're really wide open to the information from life coming to us in whatever way it comes to us, which often is words and thoughts, as well as the manifestation, the energy in the body. It's all one thing.
All one, yes. Okay, well, thanks
all right.
So much.
Thanks, Virginia.
Okay.
Yeah,
you
take
too.
Care.
Okay.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Virginia. And Sherry, I appreciated that last part, too, that it's all one thing. And as I hear you often say, that mind and body are one.
Mm-hmm.
And what I get from that is that life is giving me information all the time in all different forms. And can I be present to that?
Right. Yeah. And when we're here, that's why, of course, coming back to the breath is such a big deal for meditators, right? Because when the attention is on the breath, the attention is on the body, we really increase our chances of being here. So, yeah.
Yes, exactly. And Sherry, we are going to hear from our coaching program, and then we'll be back to talk with more callers.
All right.
Having emptied our teacups in 2016, we are now embodying joy in 2017. Joy is our experience of presence. Zen Awareness Coaching is a great way to support ourselves as we embark on projecting joy. Through weekly calls, email check-ins, and focused practice commitments, we are assisted to see how we are caused to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering. Zen Awareness coaches are trained and guided by Sherry Huber. They offer coaching as a way to deepen their own practice and support the monastery. We recommend coaching for people who have attended retreats with us, have some grounding in the principles and language of this practice, and are interested in deepening their awareness practice. To request a Zen Awareness Coach, email zenawarenesscoaches@livingcompassion.org. Make 2017 a year of great love and joy.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Joyce.
Hello, Joyce.
Hi, Joyce.
Hi. I feel like I'm just at the point of untying a knot and not seeing the way out. And there's several things that have dropped in. One is that it's content of I see how, you know, I see how life is living me, and then I get into a story engaged with someone else. And when they get grumpy, and then I'm assuming it's grumpy. So I'm looking at, well, maybe they're grumpy, maybe they're in pain, and then fall into the, well, I must do something to help them, and then just get grumpy back. And then this being falls into retaliation, and then
ego
I try and
falls
accept
into retaliation.
Yes, thank you. Mm-hmm. And then I just try to accept them for what's happening with them, and just, you know, feel the love for me and for them. And it just is like the washing machine has taken everything, conditioning has taken it all, and just beat it into this something that makes no sense anymore.
Mm-hmm. So, and then I what
go ahead, please. No,
well,
I'll just get into another one.
What I'm hearing you say is that you've watched it enough that you can see ego following a karmic track. So it, the way you laid it out, it's kind of like dance steps. You know, first this, you take a step to the right, and then you take a step to the left, and then you take a step forward, and then you take a step back, and it sounds like you've got somebody dancing with you who knows those steps really well. And so in the beginning, when we don't know what's going on, we're just caught up in this is life and this is true and this is real and this is how it is and this is what I need to do. And we thoroughly believe that. And we do that and do that and do that. Now, most people, of course, will die doing that because they have no idea that there's anything else available. But you do awareness practice. And so you know that you've watched this long enough to realize, okay, we're doing the same thing over and over and over. This is not getting anywhere. This is just getting us to the same place, which is I'm projecting unhappy.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah?
Absolutely.
And so
absolutely.
The way you laid it out is kind of like a process map. So the first thing that you become aware of is somebody's experiencing something. Now, you said grumpy, and then you realize, well, that's actually a projection. I don't actually know what's going on with that person. So at that juncture, there are several directions to go in, depending on your level of curiosity. So, for instance, it could be possible to ask the person how they're doing, what they're, to reflect them, to learn those skills so that it's possible to have a conversation where there's a real curiosity about what's going on with somebody, to listen to them and hear them and not take it personally, and all those awareness practice skills that we can develop. It's also possible to realize, oh, okay, well, this is the point at which we're supposed to start this particular part of the dance, and I don't actually want to do that. So I'm going to drop that idea that I'm going to help this person in any way, and I'm just going to focus on keeping the attention turned inward and staying as centered as I can stay. So those are two just, you know, immediately available possibilities. As we go along, then we can become curious about more things and more things and more things. The point of everything that I'm saying, of course, is to get out of the conversation in your head so that you don't keep going down the same track, since you're very clear at this point where it leads.
Oh, yes, yes. And I've asked, back to the first part, I've had, you know, is something going on? Are you feeling okay? Is there something I can do? And I'll get it back. Why are you asking? And
uh-huh.
Then it seems to me like something's going on, and if there's something I can do, I'd, you know, like to help. And it just becomes more.
And the response to that is,
You know, part of it is a look that goes with
great.
A kind
but
of.
But my point is, you
oh,
have
wow,
your answer. At that juncture, you have your answer. So it's possible simply to
yes.
say, okay, thanks. Well, if there's anything I can do, just know that I'm here, and go.
Oh, thank you.
Garden, or write a love letter to yourself and record it, or listen to your recordings of whatever. Get some archives from open air. Go for a walk. Because you've received the information.
Boy,
If you continue, then you can know that this is, okay, you can just chart it right there on your process map. Okay, well, this is the part where then I say this, and then I feel that, and then the other person does that, and then I do that. And, I mean, you can stay with it if you want to go one more round. It's like one of those roundabouts, right, on the road. You know, you could just exit.
Yeah.
Go to the
yes.
nearest parking lot, park the car, and go for a walk with your earbuds in. Yeah.
Yeah, and EKC has had me just so talked into the fact that I need to make it, I need
right.
to have
of
it
course.
Be a different outcome.
Of course.
And you
can have a different outcome, but you're going to have to be the one to choose it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
All right.
And now I'm getting the little story. Well, you dummy, you should have really seen that.
Uh-huh. Yes, well, thank you. Thank you, unhelpful voice of self-hate. Uh-huh.
Somebody knows that and then go, yes. Thank you, Sherry. I appreciate
you
that.
You are so welcome. Let me know how it goes.
All right. Will do.
All right. All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Joyce. And Sherry, I know that I cannot hear it too many times, that I just need to drop the conversation and get off the roundabout, and or really just recognize that I am choosing the roundabout
right.
you know,
yeah.
And these,
yeah,
these
quit
are the
complaining.
Consequences of choosing the roundabout. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, quit being
exactly.
a victim. Right, yes. Because that would be a step in a happier direction, wouldn't it? It's like, well, I'm not ready to give this up. So, you know, I'm choosing it, and I guess I'll just keep doing it until I'm really tired of it.
Yes, exactly. And it reminds me of what you say frequently, that it's not sometimes not a matter of dropping it, but a matter of wearing it out.
Yes, that's Joko Beck. Yeah, it's something like we hardly ever let anything go. We just wear it out.
Yes. And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Mary Jane in Palo Alto.
Hello, Mary Jane.
Jane.
Hi.
You're a little soft, so speak
oh,
up a little
okay.
if you can. There you are.
I can't speak up. Okay.
There you
great.
Go. That's better.
So I guess I wanted to call because I made a commitment to myself to call, but also I just was so angry at someone in my life today. Like, I couldn't have compassion, and it was so painful and it comes up a lot, and I just get really stuck, and I know it's projection, and now, I mean, in the moment, I just was, like, annoyed, but...
Do you have a budding pianist there?
Oh, I have a...
Doing background music for you?
Yeah, that's Evie, Nestor, and... I appreciated, actually, I think the other day you'd said to someone, like, well, you can be on the call in, and if you have to go, you have to go. Like, it made it easier for me to call tonight, so thank you for saying that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, yeah, we can't,
I don't have to go yet, but.
We don't have, I don't hear that. So, yes, so you're there in the moment, and somebody is whatever, and you're whatever, and you can see that this would be a great moment for compassion, but you have no ability to reach any. Were you able to have any compassion for your lack of compassion?
No. I mean, I was able to do it later. Like, now I do. And now I feel, you know, now that feeling badly that here I'm someone who's, like, professing to really try and bring compassion, and then, you know, I just couldn't show that.
Couldn't get
to
there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, it's always harder. Like, I find people, you know, the closer they are to you, sometimes I feel it's harder for me sometimes.
Oh.
I wish
you know that.
It was, but,
you're not old enough for this, but there was a song years and years ago, "You always hurt the ones you love."
Yeah.
The ones you shouldn't hurt at all. So, I mean, it's timeless. It's universal. It's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, of course, we learned that growing up, right? That's it's kind of a family dynamic that we all get the hang of.
Yeah, it's true. And I know, I mean, there might be, you know, there's some circumstances that I'm struggling with this other person that I have no control over. And, but still, I can tell it's just really strong. Like, it's stronger than that situation. But, there's those moments when it's hard for you to see its projection. Like, you feel like it really has to do with the other person.
Oh, yeah. 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 And is this the kind of situation, does the other person know that you feel this way?
Yes.
Okay, you've made that clear.
Yes.
Are you able to acknowledge what goes on? That
I mean,
you get to this place and
start. Maybe that's where I can start, because what I start to do is justify my lack of compassion rather than just notice, like, oh, I'm wanting to be feeling, like, to give you the support you need, and I'm just noticing, or whatever the sensations are, like you said.
Right.
Like, it's just sensations.
Yeah.
And just to be with what is.
Yeah. You know, I think that this is life's way of helping us be humble. You know, because more than anything, we want a compassionate world, right? We look out at all the injustice and the cruelty, and we so desperately want that not to be the case. And why can't people just see? And why can't people just? And then there I find myself, you know, screaming at somebody. and then we get to go, oh, I see. Okay, that's why. Because as much as we might want this, we're not there yet.
Yeah.
And interestingly, of course, it builds compassion.
It does.
When we can have compassion for the person who so desperately wants to come from a place of compassion and just isn't always able to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, thank you.
Yeah. Just to let her off the hook and have sympathy and live to fight another day, right?
Yeah.
Live to, which translates into keep practicing in order to keep coming back to that place until we get to, I can. I can see where that other person is. I may be projecting. But I'm betting money that they're just like me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we all just have different areas that are hard for us, right? So if something's not hard for you, but it's hard for the other person, that's where you have to really understand that that's just like other things are really hard for you, this thing is really hard for them, you know?
Yes. And that's, we manage to find each other, don't we?
Yeah.
Again, I think it's life's way of helping us be humble enough to learn compassion. Because it would be great if we were all surrounded by the people who are just like us, in the sense that they're really good at what we're good at, they're really tolerant of what we're tolerant of, you know, but it's not set up that way, apparently.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I'm glad I got through. I wish you could see Evie was doing the Vogue, dancing around, you know, in the body, right?
First she plays the piano to get herself in a dancing mood, and then she can
I think she was trying to get our attention, actually, on the call. I think she started that when I went on the call.
You're doing a pretty good job. All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you so
Take
much.
Care, you gals.
Okay.
Good night.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Mary Jane. Sherry, what I got out of that conversation is really being humble, as you talked about, especially when I recognize that all of it is within me. Everything I see out there, everything I hate, everything I love.
Yep.
And what I appreciated about Mary Jane was not going to feeling bad. And instead, you know, calling in to find what's the alternative to that.
Yeah, which is a very compassionate move, isn't it?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. And we have time for at least one more caller.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Art.
Hello, Art.
Hey, Art.
Hey, Sherry. I'm Michael. Here I am. And I'm glad to be on. And what's going on is preparing for a birthday and a graduation from college party. And
not to mention Hanukkah and Christmas and New Year's, and that's a lot going on.
Yeah. A lot of interesting practice stuff. I guess that what I've been noticing is how I've been practicing sort of trying to see through the content to the process that's going on, that's kind of shoveling all this content into my face. And that's been helpful to me to sort of let go and to watch and to be interested and to, meanwhile, with the mentor reassuring me that, you know, hey, everything's okay. You know, just we're just watching and, and you know, it's kind of interesting. It's kind of fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm glad for practice. Yeah.
And then you get pulled into the content and there's a believable story and it's not as much fun?
Let's see. you know, an ego doesn't want to admit that either.
Yes, it likes to do its work in secret.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a, yeah, stealth sort of character.
Yeah.
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 And I get beaten up for not being grateful. Yeah.
That, or just generally not being grateful.
I get beaten up for not being grateful just for the people that I love in my life. And, yeah.
And is that true? Are you not grateful for the people you love in your life?
Well, let me answer that question. I am grateful for the people that I have in my life. I'm grateful for everything. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, yep. And I
but according to conditioning, not grateful enough, or maybe sometimes you do something that would be interpreted as something that somebody who was really sincerely grateful wouldn't do?
Yeah. You know, what dropped in while you mentioned that was that I'm just trying to ignore everything just so that time will go past as fast as it can and I won't experience anything at all. And I guess that's what, you know, that's what ego, you know, was trying to talk me into living that way.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And then beating you up for not really being present and grateful for the people
right.
in your life and that sort of thing. So simultaneously,
well,
you should just survive everything until
exactly.
it's
and,
over.
Right, and what happens is that, you know, when I forget things, when I'm not present, I don't notice when somebody tells me something that would be helpful for me to know. Like when I'm at the grocery store, or when I'm just doing the things that I would like to do. And so that gives ego a really good chance to be like, hey, well, you know, where were you when this person said this? And where were you when this person said that? And you know, it just digs a hole and then kicks me into it.
Uh-huh. And do you have a response to that question? Do you know where you are?
Okay. I know where I am. Yep, I'm sitting in the living room with my shoes on. My shoes are actually on my socks, and my socks are on my feet.
Uh-huh.
I'm talking to you.
And so if you could do that when people were talking to you, and telling you things that would be important for you to know, but instead something else is going on, right? And so that's what makes it really interesting, right?
Yeah.
So you can see ego has you on in a duality, right? Kind of a little vice grip. So number one, you should just kind of check out and survive. And then on the other hand, you get beaten for having checked out and surviving. Right,
yeah.
So where were you becomes a really good practice question. So, but not to try to look at the past, but to get all the help and support you can for being present. So I bet there are people in your life who talk to you and would like you to pay attention who could help you by saying things like, I need you to pay attention to this. Okay, and then your job is not to be defensive or offended or any of those kinds of things, but really to see it as a helpful support.
Wow.
And then, you know, your agreement is to come to and maybe even record what it is that they have to say.
Yeah. Wow.
And take all of this out of the evil little claws of ego.
Yeah.
And use it all for your practice and for, you know, really having the life that you want to have and that you're capable of having.
Mm-hmm.
You have people in your life who love you and whom you love. So then it's getting to the place of really being able to enjoy and appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great. Thank you. Thank you so much. I'll say good night.
All right. Take good care. Bye-bye.
You too. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Art. Sherry, I just love that. When I fall in that trap of, wow, I'm really aware. I practice awareness. And then the pothole just opens up in front of me to just check out and miss the next 3 weeks. And to see that and to be aware of that is great.
And no beatings.
No beatings at all.
Just, oh, okay. Well, huh. How did I manage to take that turn into that cul-de-sac and get stuck there? This is really, okay. I have a project.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Actually reminded me of last week, Sherry. I was busy going somewhere and several things I needed to take and was sort of proud of myself for having remembered them. And then I drove 45 minutes and realized, actually, no, I didn't have everything that I needed. And it was great. It was one of those moments of like, wow, how did that happen? That is
how
amazing.
How did that happen?
Yeah.
Was it when I was congratulating myself for having done such a good job of getting everything? Is that how I made it? Yeah, because if we really do want to know the answer to these questions. And again, as I said to Art, and I bet you would agree with this, you know, people who care about us really would like to help us be successful. Now, ego sees that as controlling and interfering and don't tell me what to do. And, you know, but if we want our lives to work, then those very people who care about us are the ones who are best informed about what we need help with, far more so than we are. Right? Because they're not bamboozled about what's going on with us.
Yes. Good. Exactly. And Sherry, I think we're a little short of time to bring on another caller here.
Right.
We're down to 2 minutes left. And so I want to say thank you.
Great show. See you later.
Yeah.
See you soon. Take good care.
Yes, and no open air shows for the next two Tuesdays, and we'll be back on Tuesday, January 9th.
Wow, so this would be a see you in the new year.
See you in the new year. Talk to you in the new year.
Yeah, all right. Thanks so much, Michael. Thanks for everything.
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.